You're very welcome back to the second hour of Friday's 9 till noon show. Hope you're all very well out there today. It's very dark out there, isn't it? But it's milder than it has been over the last few days, which is good, I think. Good morning, Greg. I've moved to Letterkenny after many years in parts of West Donegal and updated my address on the register. I got my polling card when where it gave me the polling station as being Boys Girls National School Backroad. I'm reasonably familiar with Letterkenny and wasn't aware of any road named Backroad. I googled it and used Google Maps, but nothing came up. I tried the County Council website, found no further information. By a lengthy process of deduction, I figured it might be Skull Column Kill on the Convent Road, as this school wasn't named on the list of polling stations, and also it comparatively recently became a mixed school, whereas it had previously been a boys only. So I took a chance on it and went there. I wasn't sure till I walked in, though. I also heard a few others commenting that they weren't sure they had the correct polling station either, as the address didn't make much sense. Maybe councils should provide air codes and update school names' addresses if we want to encourage people to vote. My partner, who has lived in Letterkenny all of his life, had no idea where the Boys Girls National School Backroad was. He went to a different polling station. Maybe this will make it easier for others to know where to go to vote if they are designated to this polling station. So does that resonate to you? How broadly is the Boys Girls National School Backroad known locally, let alone from outside Letterkenny? But as it turns out, it is Skull Column Kill on the Convent Road. Hi, Greg. I seen you on the BBC News last night. It was a great clip. Could use some of it to promote tourism. Well done, Declan Harvey, BBC Northern Ireland, and yourself. OK, I didn't see it, but I know Declan was up with us last week talking a little bit about Donegal as we approach the election, what's concerning people and what not. So I'm glad that you approve of my message there. Hi, Greg. Just wondering why there's no option for people that are blind or who are visually impaired. Can they vote online or over the phone? How are we supposed to get there to vote or see the ballot paper? Well, we discussed this. There is a it's a long ballot paper. 20. It was 12 last time. We were chatting to Jennifer in relation to this a few weeks ago. And there is something that you place over the ballot paper, but it is convoluted and complicated. There's no provision for online voting or over the phone at the moment, but you can ring up and they will tell you whilst you're in the booth, the candidates and their numbers. We need to do something that's a little bit more inclusive, I think. I would agree. Most young people don't drink, Greg. Are you for real? You mustn't be out much. A fair bit, not too much. sorry, when I'm talking about young people, I was on about under 18s. And I was only going by statistics, not sort of anecdotally what I see. And apparently the majority of under 18s don't drink. So I could be wrong. I'm just saying that's statistically what was said. Greg, just met two scooters in the footpath. Law not being enforced. Indeed, it's not. But I've said it before in the show. I think they look very vulnerable when they're on the road. But they shouldn't be on the footpath. Greg, a bike is much safer. young people are that lazy now, different times. Aaron from Buncrana. Is a bike much safer than a scooter, though? That's just the thing I was asking. Good morning. I feel this has been a very low-key election campaign. I know the running was short, plus I think a lot of candidates were trying to avoid any controversy. Personally, I got a lot of insight from the three debates in Highland, and I actually changed my voting preference based on what I heard. Thanks for the great coverage. Great. Listen, that's great. That's what we want, to give people an opportunity to win your votes. That's what it's all about. And in some of that, they'll change how you might vote. You might not vote for them either. I just want to recap tomorrow, by the way, and sorry to push this, but I just want to make sure that everyone's interested knows that we're doing this. So from 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, we are on air live from the Aura Leisure Centre in Letterkenny as votes begin to be counted, the last of which will be cast 10 o'clock tonight. I think they're opening the initial boxes first. We're going to be scrutinising that, getting the very latest tallies, the trends, where votes are coming from or being lost and all that kind of stuff. So that will happen really quite early in the morning. Things move really quite quickly. And then the boxes from the various other areas will be opened throughout the course of the day. And we could get a first count pretty early. We don't know. But all we do know is that we'll be on air from 9 o'clock, making sure that you simply do not miss a thing. We also through the hands of Michaela Clark, who's done this before and does amazing work in this regard. We'll also have a running blog on our website, highlandradio.com. So maybe you're in a quiet environment and you can't listen to us. You'll be able to track it via text through Michaela's election blog. That will be live on our website as well. And she'll give you all a sense of, you know, what's going on, not just in terms of, you know, tallies and results, but also a sense of the atmosphere and all that kind of stuff. So that's going to be excellent as well. And we are also going to be streaming it live for you to watch. And I'm thinking too, maybe there's people in your life that might be not as tech savvy as you might be. If they have a smart TV, you can stick us on their telly on the YouTube app, or if they've got a Fire Stick, they can watch it throughout the course of the day on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, or in their hands, on their tablet or what have you, through Facebook and YouTube and the X platform as well. So we have you covered every which way. And also for those who may be are hearing impaired as well, the good thing about streaming the content is you can watch it. The subtitles are all automated, but they'll keep you updated, right? We'll try our best to speak as clearly as we can. So hopefully everybody will have the capacity to watch and enjoy and listen and enjoy and read and enjoy the coverage of the election tomorrow. It's going to be really interesting. Nothing is guaranteed. Your candidate who you might be backing is not guaranteed unless you go out and vote for them. You can't influence the outcome of the election unless you go out and vote. If you are registered to vote, it takes a bit of effort, but really is worth voting, because your vote could be the one vote that separates two candidates. So if you can find it in you to get out and vote, I would love to see us get more than 62%. I think it would send a really strong message that, you know, we might be frustrated or we might be happy or whatever the emotion might be, but that it matters. And if imagine if we could get up close to 70%, it would be absolutely remarkable. Okay, just I want to let you know that Santa will be in Buncrana tonight. He's a busy boy, but he's managed to take the evening off to get to Buncrana tonight to switch on the Christmas lights. It's at 7 p.m. All are welcome. So that's Santa switching on the Christmas lights in Buncrana tonight at 7 p.m. And I think it's going to be much milder and potentially drier this evening as well. The water is off for several hours due to technical problems in the Falkara area and surrounding townlands. So sorry if you're being affected by that. Hi, Greg. There's a telephone pole on the Ballygorman Road, Mallon Head, being held up by the phone line that it's attached to. Depending on which way the wind is blowing, it's leaning dangerously over the road. 2 days ago, a team of men were working on the poles, but it's still the same this morning after wind last night. Thanks, Greg. Okay, that sounds really dangerous. It's a telephone pole on the Ballygorman Road. Not high-powered lines, potentially never go near fallen lines, by the way. But we certainly were not on a situation when we're aware of this for that pole to fall on a pedestrian or a car. So whoever might be responsible for that, I hope they go and sort it out. Morning, Greg. I made a call to St. Vincent de Paul 3 years ago. I rang Letterkenny in Milford. My son had just spent 2 weeks in hospital at the other end of the country, and I had to spend that time down there with him as it was life-saving surgery. I never received a call back from either of them, yet I see people receiving colon vouchers. That's unfortunate, and my understanding is that would be the exception rather than the rule. I'm sorry that was your experience. Hi, Greg. I was wondering, could you highlight the point that was made on the web last night regarding walkers, cyclists, joggers wearing high-vis jackets and staying on footpaths? So many people are having the same issue, and as drivers, we're always hearing warnings about watching for people on dark evenings. But I think they owe the drivers some respect also, as no one wants a collision, but walking on the road in dark clothes is just not good enough. Maybe someone from Angada Síochána could come on and make people aware of wearing high-vis, not running on the road, using footpaths, etc. Yeah, and the guards have referenced this a couple of times during our community guard information. They even have on occasion pulled over the squad car, had a word with those walking in dark clothing and gave them high vis if they had them in the cars. I'm sure it's something we'll return to. It's just, I don't understand, like, that would be my worst nightmare, is walking on a dark road, potentially getting knocked over or what have you, you know? In relation to this, obviously I work for the HSC, so I can't speak publicly. I'm currently doing 28 hours per week and getting paid for 39. I've lost 3 clients this year and they haven't been replaced. 2 of us do the rota. That's a 20-hour week we're getting paid for doing nothing. Two other girls in the same area are doing 17 hours a week and getting paid 39 hours, and another two doing 20 hours a week and getting paid for 39. We're on 39-hour contracts, so have to be paid. That's six of us on three rosters. Each of those rosters could take on another three clients. That would be nine off the waiting lists. We're in East Donegal. Most of the carers are the same now. That's just a small example of the other girls I meet in the course of my day attending clients. When we ask for new clients, we're told it's being sorted. So that's someone from within effectively blowing a whistle to say that there are carers that are there getting paid for 39 hours and... through three of them, there's 20 hours going to a loss. And they themselves are seeking new clients, but are being told it's being sorted. A lot of people post packages around this time of the year. I was told that regardless of weight, you can pay a total of €33 for a package. You buy the envelope for €6, you pay 27 postage, and the item is €33 regardless of weight. I'm not sure what that refers to, but I'm chucking it out there in case it resonates with someone. And lastly... my three sons are in Australia. Two left their own businesses and closed them. I'd love nothing more than for them to return to Donegal, but what will be put in place to help them reopen their businesses? The penalty on their insurance returning home is ridiculous. The government needs them, but there's nothing gone to replace, nothing in place to encourage them to move. I would, if I were them, I would contact the LEO office, local enterprise office, the Donegal Local Development Company, DLDC, and have a conversation with them. If they've had a conversation with them and they're not being offered any support or options, then yeah, definitely. But that's what I would do. I would contact LEO and DLDC, and I'm sure there's other organisations that might be able to assist in that regard. Okay, you're welcome back. Tadhg Daly, CEO of Nursing Homes Ireland, is with me now. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Greg. Good to speak with you again.
Not great news coming from the nursing home sector, though, is it? More than half of Irish nursing homes not making a profit in 2023. What's going on there?
Yeah, look, it's been a very, very difficult number of years in the sector. I don't have to remind our listeners of the COVID period and obviously the inflationary period over the last number of years. But the sector is resilient, but that resilience has been tested to its maximum. So effectively, BDO and ourselves conducted a survey of all our members in the last year. And as you said, over 51% have indicated that they have made a loss in 2023. And on top of that, we've had 34 closures in the last 2 years, right across the Western Seaboard. So, look, we have an ageing demographic. That's something to be celebrated. But our fear is that we're not prepared for that ageing demographic. And at a time when we're trying to reorientate care from acute to community, we're actually losing a lot of the community provision. So there is a crisis in many respects in nursing home care, but one that we are confident with the right measures we can arrest.
Yeah, because, you know, there's been a very small increase in capacity over the last couple of years, 1.6% in 2 years. I can only imagine demand is greater, is it not, than 1.6% in 2 years?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, as I said, you know, the population is aging. That's something to be celebrated and planned for. But you're right, demand at this stage, the occupancy across the nursing home sector, and I get a call myself personally at least once a week from either someone I know or a family member or a friend looking for a nursing home bed. And that's going to become more problematic. So, you know, while we can talk figures and, you know, percentages and the numbers of beds, etc., this has a huge impact on older people themselves. Because as the BDO survey has outlined, in many parts of the country now where a nursing home has closed, in reality it's not going to reopen. So what you have is you have older people traveling to receive care, families finding it more difficult to visit because it may not be in their local area, leaving their community. So that's something that we need to you know, be cognizant of.
It's inevitably going to put further pressure on acute hospital systems as people try, 100%. as hospital managers or the staff try and discharge people where appropriate to nursing homes. And we talk about those that are making good profits and those that are making a loss. But there's also, I presume, a bigger cohort that are making a bit of money and maybe don't want to be busy fools either. And are sort of saying, I might be in the black, but is it really worth it?
Well, that's the difficulty over the last couple of years is that, you know, for some of the homes, they have been under, you know, significant pressure. What they're looking at is, decreasing profitability, and you need the money to reinvest in the home. You need the money, obviously, to upgrade the facility, maybe add beds, etc. So for those who have lost beds, for example, that's a loss of income, and that has tipped people into closure. So there is, a very serious issue about care of the older person generally, whether it's home care, meals on wheels, day services, mm-hmm. etc. The fact that we have an ageing population is very, very positive. But we need all those services. And our fear is that we're not planning appropriately.
Well, you see, that's it. There's very few things that we have such certainty on, and that would be
correct.
Our demand for nursing home beds. We know that. It's not something that can be disputed. So with all that in mind, there has been some increases in the HSE's Fair Deal rates, but are they keeping pace with inflationary pressures, power, all that kind of stuff, and also to increased wage demands? And if they aren't, how far short are they?
Well, that's the critical issue, and you've nailed it effectively. What we've seen is, I think, about an 11 or 12% increase in funding, whereas the actual costs have increased in excess of 30%. Because obviously, as you say, light and heat, staffing is a huge issue, obviously, and all positive in terms of increases in salaries and wages, auto-enrollment, a pension, etc. They're all positive, but they need to be funded. So the shortfall is significant in many parts, and that's what has forced, as I said, 34 in the last 2 years. In the last 5 years, over 80 nursing homes have closed. And across the Western Seaboard in particular, from Kerry right up to Donegal, 15 homes have closed over the period of the last 2 years, and only four have opened. So there will be large parts of the country where services will become even more problematic and more challenging. And as you've quite rightly outlined, Greg, the issue will have a huge impact on older people, as I've said, but it will have a huge impact on the acute hospital service, mm-hmm. because you'll have people whose acute phase of care is over, who should be out in the community, whether it's in their own home or a nursing home, but cannot go because of a lack of community community beds.
Tigan, you referenced this earlier on, and I think it's a really good point. Time is of the essence now, because it is one of those types of facilities that if it closes, even if terms and conditions change, the likelihood of re-establishing it is gone. I think if someone closes at this point, they're giving up on it and moving on to something else. So it's really to stem the closures at this point, because it's going to be very difficult to reverse closures.
That's exactly the point. And that's what we've said to government, is that, and successive governments, we need to stabilise existing provision. That should be our first priority, is to ensure that there's no more closures. And at least then we can get some headroom and say, OK, what's the next move? So that is the absolute priority. And as you'll appreciate, Greg, the lead-in time for a new facility, for example, could be 3 to 5 years in terms of planning, securing the site, securing the funding and opening. So it's not something that can be turned on overnight. So, look, we have to stay positive as well. I mean, clearly, this is a challenging period for the sector. As I said, the sector is resilient. Many, many good people and excellent staff across the sector. The HICWA survey last year outlined 90.3% had a good or a very good experience. So there's lots of positives there. But we need to act and act quickly. I mean, we've seen, for example, what's happening at the moment in the country with the housing crisis. Mm-hmm. Our fear is that we'll be in a similar and probably a worse crisis in a number of years' time if we don't take the right action.
Yeah, of course. There'll
be a new government coming in.
Exactly. We have some certainty as to what's coming. So we don't have to guess. We know the demographical changes. We can aggregate and use percentages to know how many might require this type of care. So we have the info. Yes. It's just doing the right thing. Thanks, Tig. Tig Daly, CEO of Nursing Homes Ireland. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and the text as well. Let me see. What was I going to do? I was going to take a break. We have some interesting news as it relates to our Christmas car draw coming up between now and 11. It's got bigger and it has got better, as we've been sort of flagging and teasing. Lots of you, of course, entering our fantastic competition to win a car. Someone is going to be able to sit in their brand new car on the 23rd of December and pick it up early January, when we've got a sexy new set of plates on it, our 251s. And it's going to be one of you listening today, potentially. But that's not all. The prize, as I say, has got bigger and it has got better. Two things I can't say about Sean Quinn.
Oh, that was That was cheap.
You are better. And I'm saying you're staying lovely and trim. Sean, good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
Yeah, you were keeping your cards very close to your chest in relation to the car draw, right? Because we're looking at the car here. For those watching on our live stream, it's a beauty. Thanks to our friends at Toyota. It's a lovely car. We went out for a scotch in it, didn't we?
We did.
But what is being layered onto this wonderful competition?
So, yeah, best kept secret. What we want to do again this year is we want to give away €1,000 a day. And we want to give away €10,000 in total, Greg. So it'll be €1,000 every day from the Monday, the 9th of December, and right through to the 20th. So
some questions. But Sean, I've already bought my ticket.
Well, the good news is, Greg, you can buy another one, but the one that you've bought, you're automatically into the draws.
Okay, so really what Sean is saying there very, very clearly, if you bought your ticket, you are now in 11 draws. Okay, isn't that good? So you were in one draw for a fantastic car worth more than €30,000, but you're now also in 10 draws for €1,000. Consecutive days, Monday the 9th of December until the 20th. €1,000 every single day. So if you've got your ticket, if you're an early bird, well done to you. But you can now start buying your tickets if you wish. And of course, if you can afford them, because we want you to have fun and be with a chance of winning, but we don't want you to stretch yourselves. The tickets are one for €15, which is good value, but five for 50 represents excellent value. And Sean, again, just to reiterate, whether you've bought your ticket or you're about to buy your ticket, you're in all 11 draws.
Every single draw, your name will be in with a chance of winning. And we've had a great, I suppose this year we're looking, a lot of people are buying the €50, and what they're doing is they're putting people's names on them. So the facility is there. You can put five different names on. Simply go to highlandradio.com and click on the button for the tickets. And you can give five people 10 chances or 11 chances to win. So it's a great prize, great time of year. The little slight difference from last year, Greg, I have to emphasise, is you don't have to answer the phone this year.
Well, that's going to make me going into shops an awful lot easier.
It is. When you come out of the shop, or you've been in the shop, or you're buying petrol, or you're at the farm,
yeah.
As I got a call last year. When you go back, you may have missed a call from Highland Radio. The good news is, when you ring us back, you will be €1,000 better off.
And look, we've got great listeners, and we're all part of the one family. Then all the story. We'd love to get you on if you win. But it's not a proviso, okay? You don't have to. So there's going to be 10 €1,000 on consecutive days from Monday the 9th. So, you know, you can buy your ticket whenever you like up until the 22nd, 23rd. But the reality is if you get your ticket now, between now and Monday the 9th, you're in all 11 draws. And to be honest, if you get it on the 10th, you're in 10 draws. Represents fantastic value and great chances. And it keeps you interested in it in the run-up to the big draw itself. So you can get your tickets, as Sean mentioned, on our website, highlandradio.com. It's fully safe. It's fully secure. You can buy them there, and it's very, very simple, and your tickets are emailed to you. Of course, some of you may prefer to use cash. You can call up to us here during office hours and we can process that for you. Highland Radio, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, call in and we can sort that out. Or indeed, you can give us a ring and we can process that for you as well and email them out to you. So we've got you covered in every which way you wish. The only thing I would say, if you're going to buy a ticket, if you're going to take the offer for five, do so before Monday the 9th. In fact, do it now if you want. And that means that you can just sit back and you're in everything. You're in every single draw. And Sean tries to make out, right, you could win 1,000 and then the car. Statistically, possibly you could. But if your ticket comes out for the grand, it does go back in for the car. You're waiting on that day.
I told you so. I have this, feeling that somebody might win twice over the 10 days. Don't ask me why. But I have this feeling
that it may
happen.
You never know, you see. You never know. And also, too, I want to emphasise, if it's okay, is this is our draw. This is our draw for our area here, right? And we have all local winners in that draw. I'm not being procal on it, but I know lots of you might enter these draws for stuff. And, you know, it's all over the country and in Britain in some cases. And, you know, the odds there are stretched, right? This is for us here in the northwest, in Donegal. So get your tickets, and who knows, it could be you. There's a very realistic possibility of it, potentially. So it's 10 1,000s in consecutive days from Monday the 9th, and then the big one on the 23rd, which is the car itself worth over 30 grand. It's the Yaris Cross. Beautiful car.
Absolutely stunning car. It's in the shopping centre, so if you're around at the weekend, you'll see it there. It is a class car, and it'll be a lovely present to get on the 23rd. Some lucky person within Donegal or in the surrounding areas, Derry, could be Tyrone. I was actually asked a question during the week there. If somebody in Derry wins a car, will it be Northern Regged? The answer is no, it won't be.
I wouldn't have brought that up, but good there try. You go anyway.
Good try on that one.
But no, wherever you are in the world, you can
buy a
ticket. I'm just saying primarily, you're not excluded from listening in London or Dubai or Australia from buying your ticket. Just the logistically, the majority of people entering are going to be in the sort of catchment. But you're welcome to enter from wherever you are. So if you've already bought a ticket, you're automatically entered into 11 draws. Don't worry about that. If you win, you're still to be entered into the main draw for the car and the other thousands as well. So you can get your tickets, highlandradio.com, or give us a call on 07491 25000, or if you only have access to cash, call up to us here during office hours. It is a beauty. That is the actual car, the one we were in, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's in a beautiful silver, isn't it?
Yes,
lovely,
class.
Lovely interior. It's got your Apple CarPlay, your Android Auto. What that means effectively is that your phone's integrated into the screen, so your Google Maps, your Spotify, your Highland Radio, all of that sort of integrated into there. I think I spotted wireless charging. I'm not sure, but anyway. But it's got all the connections, USB-C, etc., to connect your phone, but it's also a wireless connection as well for the features that I talked of. What else was there? Electrics all around.
I'm just nodding here because you're...
Electrics all around.
Far more observant than I am.
No. Yeah, of course. It was
fully. Reasons. Yeah, it is, yeah.
In other words, rear seat's electric as well. It's got your fixed points for your child seat and still can accommodate two adults in the back alongside your child seat. What I love about it as well, it has a digital display. Which means you can adjust it, you can switch the revometer with the speedometer and stuff like that there. You don't know it because it looks like an analog one, right? But it's sexy.
It's clever.
It's sexy.
It's very clever. It's a great prize. And
it's got angel headlights as well, sort of the angel daylight driving lights as well.
I still think, Greg, if I was going to buy a car, I would buy a car off you.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're very precise on the benefits. The features and benefits, as we call it.
That's the kind of stuff I look at.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's connectivity, right? It's practicality.
It is,
It's the modern stuff.
It's the way it has to be.
If I get a car now, a new car, I want the bells and I guess the whistles.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask you was how Home for Christmas, what's the story there? Can you give us any updates on
that? Yeah, so good news is, well, first of all, I want to thank the entries. We'd over 100, so you can imagine this week has been it's been massive, and we'd some great letters, unbelievable letters, and the good news is after hours of back and forward, we have picked a winner, we have contacted the winner, and we're now in the logistic process of bringing them home for Christmas.
And so, we're not going to give you any more details on that because there is a surprise element to all of this as well.
Yes.
All we know is that the logistics of this are now being examined.
They are indeed, Greg. And this is the exciting part of the process. But what I want to do is I want to thank everybody that took time to write to us. It really is a tough decision to make. But we have made it, and we think we've made the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look forward to the coming weeks where a lovely family will be coming home to Ireland from somewhere in the world.
Okay, stay there. Lunchtime Lives are back today, by the way. We're coming to you live on Facebook. That's the Highland Hub Facebook page from Buncrana Christmas Markets. It's a festive event with free admission, which is always nice to hear. You can watch Swan Park transform into a dazzling winter wonderland, explore handmade gifts, enjoy hot chocolate, savour local treats and visit Santa's magical grotto. Feel free to send in your questions, by the way, whilst we're streaming live on Facebook, and we'll answer them there and then. So don't miss the magic of the Northwest's biggest Christmas market. It's in Buncrana, and we're going to be talking about it live from there with Corinne and the team from 1 p.m. today. It's a Facebook exclusive, so go on to the Highland Hub Facebook page and you'll see us streaming there. And just to remind you, the lights are being switched on in Buncrana tonight as well, just to stay in the peninsula at 7:30. Is it 7 p.m. or 7:30? I think it's 7:30. I'll have to check that. Don't go there yet. I'll check it. Sean.
Yes.
Is there a colouring competition or is that something else?
That's Fionnuala's. I think she's going to talk about that later on. That's coming.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's on its way. I don't want to step on her toes on that one.
That's her, baby.
Okay, so 7 p.m. The Christmas lights are being switched on in Buncrana at 7 p.m. tonight. All are welcome. Right, Sean, anything else?
No, that's us, Greg. Just to hate the very best of luck this weekend. Mm. I know yous are going to smash it.
Smash
it. I think the coverage will be incredible. I know the work you put behind the scenes to.
Well,
to
Oisin and Oisin and Joe have been working on the technical side of things. Won't go into the details, but incredibly challenging to get what we need into that space, just because of logistics, to use that word again, not because of anyone's being obstructive or that. Well, that's all in situ. The team's in place. Donald's going to be there. Michaela's going to be there. I'm going to be there. We're going to have our panel there. We're going to keep everyone up to date on our social media, on our website, and people can listen to it on the radio or watch it on our stream. We've got 5,000 watching in the locals. I'd love to beat 5,000.
Be brilliant.
Decent,
yeah.
Viewership.
Absolutely.
That's more than a lot of programmes on TV get at night, so it's a fantastic reach. All right, Sean, best of luck with everything and life.
Thank you. Oh, that's a great way of finishing.
That's all I'm going to say to you. All right. Okay, so just final recap. There are now effectively 11 draws as part of our big car giveaway this Christmas. Sean and the team have added €1,000 a day from Monday the 9th of December. If you want to be in all 11 draws, well, if you've bought your ticket, you already are. But you can get your tickets right now on our website, highlandradio.com. Give us a call here, 07491 25000. Or, in fact, if you need to call into us, that's fine too. It is Highland Radio here, of course, at the Mountaintop in Letterkenny. And just to clarify, that you don't have to answer your phone to win, by the way. So just by entering, you're in. You don't have to answer the phone. Coming up after 11, we have That's Entertainment with Michael and Fionnuala. Looking forward to having a conversation with them and looking forward to your interaction in that. Look, I mean, obviously, it's a long week, isn't it? And there's lots of stuff talked about. There's plenty of lighthearted stuff in there too, but some serious issues as well. And it's nice as we head into the weekend too, I suppose, chill out and just chat about different stuff. And we want you involved in that conversation as well. So what are you doing for the weekend? What are you looking forward to? Maybe you have a wee event in your community that you want us to give a mention to. I can do that for you as well. Maybe you're heading to the switch on of Warriskies lights, or maybe you're heading to the switch on of the lights in Buncrana tonight, or whatever you're doing. But just put it in a text or a voice message and send it in to us, and maybe it might encourage other people to do something. Okay, so 07491 25000 is how you call us, but you text on WhatsApp 086 60 25000. The caller says, can I put a child's name on the ticket for a draw? I'm not really sure what the situation is. I'll get clarification for you on that, but it's you purchasing the ticket, right? So if you wanted to gift it to a grandchild, I can't see any reason why, because it's going to be care of you, the ticket buyer, anyway, and you have to be over 18 to buy a ticket. So I can't see an issue with that. I'll double check. But as I say, it's going to, even though you don't express it, it's going to be, you know, Hudson Hughes, but it's my ticket, isn't it? Because I bought it and gifted it to them. Anyone Christmas shopping, would please keep Christmas toy appeal in your mind. One small gift or toy would be great. It's good to give. It is, of course. That's from Eunan Deveni. And we have his number here if you want to contact him by way of passing on a toy or something along those lines. I am a Three customer. I rang this morning to ask if I could get out of my contract as my phone calls were not clear. People couldn't hear me and couldn't hear themselves. I thought that I was only liable for the cost of the phone, which I thought was only 150. I want to get a better phone and I can't. €400 seems like an obscene amount of money. What do others think? They're not going to let you out of the contract without a penalty if the handset is faulty. And, you know, if there were 1,000 people complaining of the quality of calls on the network, it might be different. But I think you're going to be in bother there if they sort of say, well, it's your handset that's the issue. And they're going to have, you know, they have penalties for trying to exit contracts. So I don't know. Maybe someone else has a suggestion. You know, I would always give the advice, because I was a very loyal big brand phone user for an awful long time, and I couldn't wait till the new phone came out. And I found myself then getting into a 2-year contract to try and make it affordable to get the latest and greatest. And then a new phone came out 9 months later, and I'm sitting here with the old handset and 14 months left on the contract. And I know some of them are different in how they operate, But I was just constantly in this cycle of paying 70 quid a month for a phone because I wanted the best phone. And I didn't realise that there are phones that are good as the phones that you get, these very expensive phones, mid-range phones, generally speaking, that you can get contract-free, SIM-free, and buy them on the internet or in your local shop for a fraction of the price. And then you can pay 14, 12.99, 15 euro, whatever it might be a month for your phone calls on the same network, effectively. So say, for instance, and I'm not promoting any company, but if you get GOMO, you're on the Air network, right? Because GOMO piggybacks the Air network. So some of the smaller, they're big now, but some of the smaller brands, they use the same network as the big brands anyway, and a lot of them are the same company, right? So now I feel like I'm better off because I've got a really good phone that I bought outright for 300 euro, a lot of money, right? But it's my phone open to any work network, and I'm paying, you know, 12.99 a month for unlimited calls, texts, and data. So I feel I'm beating them at their own game now. And that offsets me not necessarily having the latest, greatest Samsung or iPhone, but each to their own. Lots of question marks and lots of the comments coming in because we have to be careful that we're not being seen to influence the outcome of today's election. But I can read this one. Do you feel it's unfair for me to say why vote when not one candidate knocked on my door? What? I don't... It's up to you. It's up to you. But, like, they're not going to be able to knock on every door anyway, are they? Maybe they cherry pick which doors to knock on. I don't know. But if you feel disenfranchised and don't vote, well, that's your decision. Let me see. Natives of the town all call it the back road for generations. This is in relation to where you vote. It's the road which leads to the hill from Old Duns to College Road. But locals know that. I think the caller was saying, I've moved in from West on the Gaul. Let's actually put the address on it. Greg, if you're from Letterkenny and you don't know where the back road is, you're not from Letterkenny. Very simple. Okay. Right. Let me see. Again, have to be careful with some of the comments. Some of them are actually really quite funny. We've no broadband with Vodafone, and every time that we ring them up, they say that they're working on it. And has anyone else experienced this? You're going to have to give us where you're from, I think, which would be most helpful there. Now, I just want to mention that there is a GoFundMe running to rebuild John's home. It's called Rebuild John's Home. As you may have heard or read this week, it's about a man who was taken to hospital after his home burned down in Letterkenny. Well, that man in question is the very popular John Wallace, who's no stranger to this station. He works at Centra across the road from us here. He's okay, but the fire has left him with nothing but the clothes on his back. Now, we know John. He's always quick to lend a helping hand himself when it's needed. So the staff at Centra across the road, they've set up a GoFundMe campaign to help him rebuild his life. And the aim is to help him cover his immediate needs like clothes and foods, and eventually the costs associated with finding a new home. So if you'd like to contribute to the GoFundMe that's been set up on, to help support John, and I think it sends a lovely message to someone who clearly spends an awful lot of time thinking about other people. You can go to GoFundMe and search Rebuild John's Home. So every donation, no matter how small, will make a difference. And there's been a huge reaction to that initiative already. And it's terrible when you lose stuff. It's terrible when the space that you call home is ravaged by a fire or destroyed by a fire. So hopefully John's getting comfort in knowing that so many people think so highly of him that they are donating lots and littles to help him get fully back on his feet again. So go to GoFundMe.com and search Rebuild John's Home. And if you have anything to donate, it'll be greatly received, I'm sure.